Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Tonight, beloved saints, I'm going to be speaking to you about rewriting destiny. Hallelujah. Did you know that God has a plan for us, but maybe some of us are not in that perfect plan right now because there are choices that we need to make in our life that are going to actually move us in to a greater dimension of destiny. Today, I want to speak to you about what real leadership looks like. Amen. And rewriting destiny has to do with understanding the biblical principles of leadership. And so today, praise you, Jesus, as we look at rewriting our own destiny in 2026, this means God is going to, of course, rewrite it for us, but it's up to us. It's our choice. And so, as always in this house, we know we always come into these wonderful biblical promises because this is the saying in Breath of the Spirit, little secrets bring big success. Can you say that with me? Little secrets bring big success. And so when we understand rewriting destiny, beloved people, this means that we have an opportunity by God to experience reformation and transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, I want all of us to raise our hands. I want us to just receive everything that God's got for us. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that this entire atmosphere would be filled with the power of God. And that, Lord, you would fill our mouths. And Lord, lead us right into the paths of righteousness tonight. In Jesus' name. Now, beloved saints, one of the most important biblical success secrets that we're going to look at tonight, and when we speak about rewriting destiny, this means the destiny that God has ordained for us, the perfect, most excellent will of God. This means the highest stratosphere in the spirit that God has ordained for us to walk actually is right now in our hands by the power of choice. We have to make certain decisions in our lives that are going to lead us into that place of destiny. And the power of choice is often understood through destiny decisions that we make in our lives. So tonight we're asking the Holy Spirit, guide our destiny decisions. Amen. Tonight I want to speak to you about the first rewriting of our destiny principles of power, and that is going to be the power of choice. You know, the power of choice is so important. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most powerful biblical principles in the entire Bible. I want us to understand this because it's through the power of choice that we can actually make changes in our lives. For example, beloved people, when we think of Eve in the Garden of Eden, let's just look at that just for a moment, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit, let's open our Bibles just for a moment to Genesis chapter 3, and I want us to see verses 1 through 6 in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the subtle temptation of the enemy that came to Eve. And the way he began that subtle temptation, the same way that the Bible speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." What I want to say to you at this moment is that God did not say that they could not eat of all the trees of the garden, but the enemy took what God said and twisted it. And this is because the enemy was very well aware of the weaknesses and inside of Eve. She had not sinned yet, but he knew her vulnerabilities, and those vulnerabilities are vulnerabilities of vain imaginations and also vanity and pride. Are you with me, beloved saints? So we see that the serpent took the subtle seduction of what God said and took Eve captive by twisting it. This is because she was moved, because she did not have her conscience protected, nor did she have any fence around her discernment or any way of being able to be open unto what God wanted her to do. And so it is so important that we understand the power of the Holy Spirit in the vulnerabilities, because there are vulnerabilities within ourselves, and there are vulnerabilities that make us susceptible to the suggestions of the enemy. But today we want to break those down, and we do not want to be subject to those subtle seductions that the enemy brings into our lives. So today, when we look at the power of choice, one of the most powerful biblical examples of the power of choice is found for us in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's all go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 26. And the destiny dynamic of choosing. Say this with me, the destiny dynamic of choice. This means that the destiny dynamic of choice is when we make the choice, we have the power through the choices that we make. God has given us the power to be able to walk into who we really are, who God has created us to be. We have not, many of us have not even come into who God has called us to be, because we have not completely embraced the perfect will of God. But when we embrace the perfect will of God, no matter how difficult it is, that is when we become who God has called us to become. And that is what it means to rewrite destiny. When we choose, because the power of choice is the most important destiny dynamic that we are going to need to get to our destiny. Put your hands up right now and say, God, I want to make the right decisions. I want to make destiny decisions that are the perfect will of God, no matter how difficult it is. I want to choose to make the decisions God is calling me to make. We're going to look at how Moses unlocked his destiny through one decision, and that was that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's begin with Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 24 through 26. The Bible is showing us, looking at Hebrews chapter 11, going to verses 24 through 26. And the scripture reads for us, beloved saints. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me explain this to you, beloved saints. First of all, Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he had an idea that his background was Hebrew, even though he was raised in Pharaoh's palace by Pharaoh's daughter. And so Moses had access to all the riches of Egypt, being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Any man at that time that was his age, that was related to Pharaoh, even though he wasn't, but to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter was probably the greatest title at that time that any person could want on the earth. To know that you were the son of Pharaoh's daughter meant that you had riches that no man could probably calculate. He had access to all the riches of Egypt because the Bible tells us so. The Bible says that he refused the riches of Egypt. So this means he had access to all the glory. He had access to being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had access to all of the riches. Are you all following me, saints? But the Bible tells us he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because if we actually look at what the scripture is referring to, first let's look at the power of choice. Going on to the next verse, and then we will look at Exodus chapter 2, because this text is referring to it. Notice it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Do you realize that the Bible is telling us Moses made a choice? It was a destiny decision. It is the power of choice that God is showing us here. We all someday are going to be faced with difficult decisions, and the power of choice is going to make the difference between reaching who God called us to be or versus who we are now. How many of you want to be who God has called you to be? Would you raise your hands? Hallelujah. And so we see, dear people of God, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. What we need to see, beloved saints, is that Moses, having access to all the riches in Egypt, having access to the title, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, having access to anything he wanted in this world, the Bible tells us here, when he was come 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we need to see what that looks like. We need to get an actual accurate assessment of what the Bible tells us that actually was. And we can see that in Exodus chapter 2. So let's go to the event that the writer of Hebrews is referring to, and let us see the power of choice by looking at the choices that Moses made that was going to actually remove him. Are you hearing this, people of God? Looking at the scripture, and we are seeing here in the Word of God, looking at the scripture, the Bible is telling us in Exodus chapter 2. Oh, we give God the praise and we give God the glory. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Let us go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses was grown. Notice the writer of the Hebrews says when he was come to years. It's the same thing. The Hebrews says when he was come to years, and the Bible tells us here when he was grown. And one thing that we need to understand in Hebrew is that this word grown is a very important word to look at. Because this word grown, remember, there are no vowels in Hebrew. So when the Bible says when he was grown, the Bible is referring specifically, if we look at the spelling, it also is gadol. The word in Hebrew for grown is gadol, and the word for great is gadol. So the spelling is exactly the same in the Hebrew, only we have the vowelization differently. Do you all understand this? So there is an interrelationship in the Hebrew language between being grown and being great. Because the Bible is telling us when he became great. So this means the decision that you and I are about to see when we look at the power of choice. Choice is something that God gave every individual. God did not make us robots. He made us to be able to make cognitive decisions guided by his word. Guided by what his word teaches us, so that when we make those decisions, we have the ability to choose what God has called us to be, other than living underneath our highest destiny. Are you understanding? And so in Hebrew, when we read in Exodus chapter 2, when he was grown, it actually also indicates when he became great. Are you hearing this? What does the Bible identify as greatness? What the Bible is going to identify as greatness is when we look at the character traits of Moses in this instance and see the selflessness and see the choice that he made at the time he went down to see his brethren. Let's look at what the text is teaching us. The text is telling us it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, or when he became also a gadol. The Bible says that he went out to his brethren and looked upon their burdens and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Do you notice that it says brethren twice? It is not written brethren twice just to fill in the space. Moses, who is the author of this text, is telling us that he went down into the slave pits, but he considered them his brethren. Are you hearing this? That his identity was with their suffering. His identity, the Bible is saying, calling them his brethren, meaning that he took upon himself their burden. He took upon them himself all of their sufferings when he saw it, and he himself began to feel their affliction within his heart. And he began to, not only this was not the beginning of him realizing how wicked the system was in Egypt, but he at this time is being dealt with by heaven to make a decision. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And so we see, beloved saints, that the Bible says, he looked out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens. In other words, the whole purpose of him going out to where the slaves were is he wanted to see for himself, what are they suffering? Are you all understanding this? And the Bible says he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. This means that he was watching and he saw an Egyptian mercilessly beating a Hebrew. Are you hearing this? Now, he had a choice at that moment by what he saw. Sometimes God places things in front of us because he wants to cause us to make a decision. And that decision, that power of choice that we make when we see something that God has told us, we know that God has told us, because why? We see with our own eyes and we hear with our own ears. And we see the suffering of someone, or we see the need of someone. And we have the choice to either respond to that need, or we have the choice to close our heart to that need. Are you with me? Say this with me, the power of choice. We have to be cognitively aware as believers that we make decisions all day long. But there are certain decisions that will change our destiny forever. And sometimes those decisions are difficult. Are you following me, saints? And so the Bible tells us he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So this means that the text is telling us that he never lost that identity as a Hebrew, though he had the privilege of being in Pharaoh's house, though he had the privilege of the access to all the wealth of Egypt, though he had the privilege of having the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Are you hearing us, dear people of God? Now watch what happens. The Bible shows us in verse 12. And he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, I want you to know something. When the Bible says he looked this way and that, he wasn't looking to see was anybody looking. When he looked this way and that, he was looking, was there someone that could actually stop this man from beating this Hebrew mercilessly? Was there an individual, anyone, anywhere, that is going to stop this aggression toward this innocent people? Are you seeing this? These people who were dehumanized, these people that were lowered to a level of complete abuse by a society that ruled over them. Are you hearing this? He looked this way and that, and there was no man. How do we know that he looked this way and that, and there was no man? What it means that this is the actual interpretation? Because we find in the book of Isaiah the same words used. The Bible says that the Lord looked this way and that, and he saw that there was no intercessor. Are you following me? In Isaiah 59, verse 16, let's go to it for a moment and see that looking this way and that actually means that he had to make a choice because there was no one else available. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says, if we can look at verse 15 only for context so we can see what the text is teaching us in verse 16. The Bible says, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. Now watch this. This is the key in verse 16. The Bible says, and he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. So his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness sustained him. Are you hearing this, beloved saints? So when God sees no man, this means there was no one to step up. There was no one to stand in the gap. Just as in here, there was no man to stand in the gap. The same thing is what the Bible is teaching us in Exodus chapter 2. Say this with me, the power of choice. Oh, glory to God. So we're looking, beloved, and we're going back to Exodus chapter 12. And the Bible tells us when he looked this way and that, and he saw that there was no man. We're looking back at the text of Exodus chapter 2, going to the original text. The Bible says he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he saw that there was no man, that is when Moses had to make the choice. That was a moment for the power of choice in his life. Because Moses, of all people, knew the consequences that would happen, that if he stepped up and stopped that merciless beating on that slave, that he was going to lose the title of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This meant that he, in his position, is actually publicly objecting to a system that he found completely evil. Are you all understanding what is being done here? He is making a public statement. He is making a public choice. He has made the choice to stand for righteousness, and it's going to cost him. Sometimes in life, the very decisions that are the most difficult decisions in life, and we know the consequences from the decisions that we will make. For some of us, it may mean that we will go through something that is difficult. Maybe we'll have to go through a period of feeling alone, or go through a period where we have to work harder, or go through a period where we're going to have to trust God for things we never had to be stretched in our faith before again to trust. Are you hearing me? Because we all love the comfort zone. Somebody say, we all love the comfort zone. And some of us don't want to hear what our conscience is telling us to do. Some of us don't want to hear what we know is right. But this is what happened to Moses. His destiny was not to be the prince of Egypt. His destiny was not to have the riches of Egypt. His destiny was not to be in the place of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was not his destiny. That is not who he is. That was not the perfect plan of God. But had he not used the power of choice, he could have never been who God created him to be. If Moses at that moment had not made a decision, we would not know his name today. Are you understanding the power of choice? If you are, say amen. Moses knew it was going to cost him everything. He knew it was going to cost him his title. He knew it was going to cost him the riches of Egypt. He knew that it was going to cost him his comfort. And he knew that his life would be in danger. But he made that choice anyway. Are you hearing me? Oh, somebody ought to give God the praise. As a result, Moses, the next time we really hear of Moses, is in the backside of the desert. Why is he 40 years in the backside of the desert? Because he knows he's being hunted like a criminal. But he still, in his own strength, would never change the decision that he made. Because he made the right decision. And you and I need to know, sometimes when we make decisions, there are consequences. But God is faithful, because without that decision, we cannot be who God created us to be. And so we understand that through this decision, 40 years later, God is going to call Moses out of the burning bush. And the prince of Egypt is now going to become the deliverer of the nation of Israel and the lawgiver. Are you understanding? Do you understand this is who God created him to be? He is going to commune with God himself 40 days and 40 nights on a mountain. He is going to be able to see revelations from heaven. He is going to be able to commune with God face to face. Are you hearing this? Turn to your neighbor and say, the power of choice. Oh, glory to God. I want us to see another example of the power of choice. The power of choice is revealed to us, beloved saints, not only here, but also in Daniel. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1. And I want to show you how destiny is rewritten, because the way Daniel's life as a young man is going, none of us would ever know that there was such a man called Daniel. You wouldn't know his name now today if he had not used the power of choice. Just like you would never know the name of Moses had he not used the power of choice. Because the power of choice is the most important destiny dynamic in the Bible. Do you understand? Choose this day who you will serve. Hallelujah. And all of those who made destiny decisions, choices that were very difficult, were those that God chose. Joseph didn't have to make the decision to forgive his brothers. But he did. And now we're going to see this young man, Daniel, whose destiny was not, it was already written in heaven, but the way things were, I want you to understand, did not look promising at all for Daniel. He was now taken as part of the royal family, captive to Babylon, among the seed royal. Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, looking at verse 1, just to know the background of Daniel and his choice. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Continuing in the context, and the Bible says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand with part of the vessels from the house of God. And the Bible says, and they carried him into the land of Shinar, the house of his God, and brought the treasures into the house of his God. Now, beloved saints, what we need to see is that certain of the seed royal was also brought captive to Babylon, and so was Daniel. And the Bible tells us he was taken into this very special group of elite young men to be chosen to serve Nebuchadnezzar and to study the quote-unquote wisdom of the Chaldeans, which was completely contrary to the way Daniel believed. But when Daniel came there, he would be obedient to all the laws except one. Daniel did not, when we see that Daniel purposed in his heart that he is not going to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, which is shown to us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. One of the things we need to notice, beloved saints, is that Daniel was not a guest of the king. So this means he could not select from the menu what he wanted to eat. He was not a privileged guest. He was a captive, and he was a servant in slave status. Are you hearing me? He was brought to serve Nebuchadnezzar, which would have been one of the greatest privileges that a young man could have in that day if you were a Babylonian. And to be able to be in the royal palace where you live and have everything taken care of and not live among where the other captives live. You're going to live in opulence. You're going to live and you're going to have a different lifestyle than everybody else. So normally the response would be, hey, we're captives, but we got this wonderful place to live. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink. Every day the finest food is going to be served to us. And we've got it made. We've got everything we need here in Babylon. We also have position. We get to see the king. And we have a very wonderful place. We're being trained to be up there in the empire. So it would be really easy to adjust to our captivity with this opulent lifestyle. But not Daniel. Daniel was willing to submit to every earthly law and do it in excellence. But he would not ever, under any conditions, break God's law to serve man. And so the Bible tells us when they served the meat and gave the portion of the king's drink, that Daniel already purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. A decision was already made. Somebody say the power of decision. A decision was already made. And that decision was, he's not going to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And so he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he would not defile himself. Meaning, we're really appreciative of this wonderful meal that the king is sending us every day. However, I cannot eat it. That's an insult. How dare you? You don't have a choice. You can't pick on the menu and push the button that says select. You can't do that, okay? You can't say, okay, I'll have this and I'll have that. No way. And to go to the prince of the eunuchs and to say, I've made the choice. I'm not going to eat this. And could you kindly allow us to eat pulse and drink water? Do you realize that because he did make that decision, a funnel from heaven came filled with favor over Daniel? I want you to know when we walk with God, there is a certain favor that comes from the decisions that we make through the power of choice. I hope you understand this. When we make decisions that are very difficult, God's favor will be with us, and God will give us double for what we have stood for. And in this case, God did the impossible. God caused the prince of the eunuchs to love Daniel in such a way that he was willing to risk his own life in order for Daniel to keep his commitment to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, uncommon favor. Oh, say, uncommon favor comes through the power of choice. When I choose to do what God has called me to do, his favor will back me up. Oh, glory to God. The prince of the eunuchs says, look, that if this doesn't work, the king is going to have my head. But he did. Daniel, in his wisdom, said, try us 10 days. I'm not asking you to do this a long time. Just test us. See, for 10 days. Give us pulse and water to drink. And so the prince of the eunuchs did. And the Bible says, after 10 days, their countenance was fairer and fatter in flesh than the others, although they were only eating pulse and drinking water. Are you hearing this? So Daniel made the decision to live on pulse and water for 3 years. And so did his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are you hearing me, saints? Say this with me, the power of decision and the power of choice. Say this with me, Holy Spirit, rewrite my destiny. I don't want to live on a lower level. I want the destiny that God has ordained for my life to come to pass. I don't want to live outside of who God created me to be, because when I walk in the will of God, I become who God created me to be. Someone ought to give God the praise. Oh, hallelujah. And so we understand immediately after, because the funnel, the divine funnel from heaven, that funnels favor on those that are willing to make a choice that God's word speaks of. Hallelujah. If you notice, in Daniel, and we look at it, we're going to see that the Bible tells us that not only did Daniel and his companions pass that test, but verse 17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. But the Bible says, but to Daniel, he gave understanding in all visions and dreams. This is something he was going to need to have in the place where he was, so that he would now excel 10 times better than everyone else and have extraordinary favor coming into his place, coming into his position, coming into his destiny that was already ordained for him. Now, let me just say something. Let's just say Daniel decided, well, you know, we're all here. We're taken against our will. God knows it's not our fault. We're brought here, and we can't say no to our captors. We know what the Babylonians are capable of. We saw what they do to anyone who even resists anything of their control. There's no way we can possibly stand up for what righteousness is. God knows our heart. If that were the case, the name of Daniel would not be in the Bible. If that were the case, none of Daniel's dreams would have ever taken place. If that was the case, Daniel would have never gone in the lion's den and the lions to be silent and subject to Daniel, because God honors the power of choice. Are you hearing me? We'd never know of such a man named Daniel had he not in his young age made that decision. Somebody ought to say tonight in Jesus' name, I give God the praise and the glory for every decision that God puts in front of me. He allows me to see things. He allows things to happen in my life so that I can make decisions that will bring him glory. Hallelujah. You see, beloved, it's so important that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our decisions. Let me give you one more destiny dynamic example here of the power of choice. Rewriting destiny in the power of choice. Say this with me. Holy Spirit, if there are some decisions I need to make that I have not made, tonight give me the power to make those decisions. Not to be a men pleaser, but to be a God pleaser. Come on, not to be a men pleaser, but to be a God pleaser. Not to be socially correct, not to be in a place where every man is going to like us, but we're going to make that decision that God is pleased with us, so he is not ashamed to be called our God. Are you with me, saints? If you are, say amen. Okay. All right. Let us go to Acts chapter 20, beloved saints. Oh, my goodness. Acts chapter 20, verse 23. The Bible is showing us that Paul had a choice. God doesn't force us into his will. He didn't make us robots. This is why it's so important to know our own selves. To know our weaknesses and the things that we're very vulnerable and very weak about. There's nothing wrong with being weak. It's just what's wrong is when we give in to that weakness if it's sinful. And the Bible shows us, beloved saints, in Acts chapter 20, that the Bible says, looking at Acts chapter 20, verse 23, Paul is going to tell the Ephesian elders, this is their last time together. So he is pouring out his soul to the Ephesian elders. He says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth that in every city bonds and affliction abide me. I want to explain this. Paul is saying the Holy Ghost has shown him that in every city where he goes, not just some, not just one or two, but every city he's going to step foot in, that bonds and affliction await him. So God showed him ahead of time. And if we really want to know what that looks like, then we need to see that Ananias, who received the vision when he was praying. Ananias is his Greek name. His Hebrew name is Hananiah. When he was, his Hebrew name. When he was praying, it's really something that his name is Hananiah, because the Lord said, Ananias. And he said, Hanani, here am I. Because God was going to ask him to do something very difficult. He said, arise, go to a street called Straight. And he told him where Saul of Tarsus was. And of course, in the natural, he did not want to go, because he had heard of great things, great persecution that Saul instigated against the believers. But God said to him in Acts chapter 9, God said in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before kings and Gentiles and the children of Israel. Now watch this. verse 16. I know this doesn't make sense to a culture of comfort, but we got to hear the truth, okay? The Bible says in verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Do you realize God already said, "I'm going to show him what he's going to suffer for my name's sake"? And so when Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, he said, "It has been shown to me." He said, "The Spirit of God witnesses to me that in every city bonds and affliction await me." But notice Paul's response. Notice he says in Paul's response of Acts chapter 20, looking at verse 24. The Bible tells us, still in Acts chapter 20, looking, going back up to verse 23, last line, says, looking, continuing in the context, it says, "But none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself." Notice, Paul is saying, I don't make my decisions on where I'm going to go to preach the gospel to see if they're going to kill me or not. That is unbelievable bravery. That is unbelievable courage. And did you know that you and I, who are baptized in the Holy Ghost, have the same amount of courage if we access it, that the Spirit of God has been given to us that we might be able to make decisions and have a courageous choice that says, "I'd rather do the will of God"? Are you hearing me here today? People of God, do you understand what the Spirit of God is teaching us? Paul is saying, all right, I know bonds and affliction await me. Literally, every place I go, I'm going to either be arrested or I'm going to be beaten or I'm going to go through some kind of torture for the faith. Do you understand it? But Paul said, I don't make my decisions with my itinerary whether or not it's safe or not, because I'm making my decisions according to where God calls me. I hope you're hearing this. And the Bible tells us, hallelujah, the Bible says, "Neither do I count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course." Notice how focused he is on finishing. Hallelujah. Do you notice he doesn't allow any distraction to take him off course? You and I have to know the power of choice. Are you going to let every little distraction that comes your way take you off your assignment? The time has come right now that we need to know our true God assignments. And some of us think that the assignment is only the one that is comfortable. Are you hearing this? Nothing can take us off our assignment. Paul was teaching the church, you cannot get your mind off your assignment, the power of choice. I'm going to stay focused. Are you hearing me? Paul said, I let none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gospel, hallelujah, and this gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so therefore, beloved saints, we understand the power of choice. And tonight, I believe in this house, the Lord wants us to reevaluate as we're getting ready for 2026. This can be the year we skyrocket. This can be the year God skyrockets you to the highest destination of destiny. This can be the year that God can open every door of destiny for you. You know, beloved, sometimes That decision is not easy. Decisions in our life that are choices that must be made, because the power of choice is the greatest destiny dynamic in the Bible. Jesus made the choice. He could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus made the choice. Father, if you be willing, let this cup pass from me. Jesus made the choice. The Bible says, I have come not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Beloved, in that moment when the very hour that Esther had to step up to the plate, it was very inconvenient because she was living in the shadow of another queen. And that queen was completely ostentatious, completely different in character and nature than she was. And that queen lost her life. And if there was anything Esther did not want to be, it was like Vashti. She wanted to be the antithesis of Vashti. And that meant complying with the protocol of the palace impeccably. But you see, the throne and the title was not given to her for her own glory. And when she had not been called before the king for 30 days, you don't break the protocol. And that is exactly when God wanted her to break the protocol. How sometimes we think it's not God's will because it's not convenient. How sometimes we've brainwashed ourselves into the bondage of thinking like the world, that when it's easy and all duckies are in a row, it's God's will. But beloved, God is raising up a church that is so strong. And when she received the orders from Mordecai, this is completely against her character, because the Bible tells us she obeyed Mordecai in everything, like as when she was brought up with him, even when she was queen. That humility, she kept herself so humble before God. But when he gave her the death decree and said, you need to go before the king and plead for the people, she politely declined for a later time. And Mordecai, in two verses of scripture, gave her the power of choice and made it laid out for her. The power of choice is this: think not that you will escape more than all the Jews in this place. For if you remain silent, you and your father's house are going to perish. And the Bible says, and God will seek enlargement and deliverance for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house are going to perish. And who knows? Notice he didn't tell her. He let her make the choice. The power of choice. He didn't tell her, you have to do this. He said, these are the facts. Make your decision. This is the reality of the matter. Make your decision. The power of choice. Esther made her decision. It didn't take her long to make the decision. She knew she had to make the decision. She knew the platform was not about her. She knew the influence God gave her with the king was not because of her beauty. It was because God placed her there for her people. Beloved people, if Esther had not made the choice, we would never know such an Esther ever existed. But when she made the choice, she went to her true self. When she made the choice, she went to her destiny. Are you hearing this? The power of choice.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.